And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1 this morning. And as we move into the Christmas season, of course, we'll be hearing some Christmas messages. And that is a joy to my heart. I love Christmas time. And I hope that you can say the same. I hope you have joy in your heart as we enter into this season and this time. And certainly I understand that as we enter into Christmas time, there can be challenges for some that come with that. And we think of individuals that, of course, may not be with us as we celebrate Christmas. But we think also of the goodness of the Lord and all that He has done for us. And as Miss Judy even said just a minute ago, it makes us mindful of the fact that He was willing to come and then die on a cross for us, give His life for us, leave the glories of heaven so that we could have hope of eternity. And I love Christmas time and the joy that comes along with it. I love the joy that comes with my children as Christmas gets a little bit closer. I know my children have been excited about the fact that we're going to be decorating the house soon for Christmas. They look forward to that. They look forward to a lot of decorating because we do a lot of decorating. A lot of decorating. I'll have to let you know how many trees we put up when it's all finished, when it's all said and done. But we have a good time with decorating. And I know they look forward to hearing the Christmas music and just the joy that comes with this time of year as we celebrate what Jesus did for us. And may we rejoice in our hearts as we've entered into this season. Look at Matthew chapter 1 with me, if you would. And I want to take a name, a title that's given for Jesus. And I want to preach about that this morning. A title that's given for Jesus here in Matthew chapter number 1. This is the part of the Christmas story where Joseph is being told by an angel as to what is going to take place with Mary as she's now conceived in her womb. And she's going to give birth to the Savior of the world, Jesus, who's going to come to save His people from their sin. And I want to concentrate on a name that we find in here that is given for Jesus. And this name, of course, reminds us of the Christmas story and the fact that God came for us to dwell on this earth for us. This name and this title that we're going to talk about today that we see from Matthew chapter number 1 here is not a name that Jesus or His disciples even used as a title for Him. Jesus didn't give this title to Himself or didn't refer to this title. His disciples didn't either, but an angel does. And an angel gives this name here in Matthew chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know there's a lot we could say just about verse number 18. Of course, we're going to move on. We're not going to tarry here long in verse number 18. But Jesus was born of a virgin. And we have to make sure that we understand, we believe that. That's something we believe to be true, that He was born of a virgin. You say, well, that sounds like that would be a miraculous birth. It was. Conceived, Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, that child, Jesus, that was going to be born, and she was going to give birth. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. We understand the punishment that would have taken place for Mary to be pregnant at this time. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now that is a wonderful title for Jesus, right? The name Jesus. He's going to be a Savior, right? He's going to save his people from their sins. But that is not the title we're going to preach about today. It's a title we see in the verses to follow. Look at verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Now notice this, verse 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. The title Emmanuel. Now, what does that title mean? Well, the Bible gives us that answer very quickly, doesn't it? It says, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the Christmas story right there, right? God with us. Jesus came to dwell with man. We know that He left the glories of heaven to come down here to live and be born as a baby and to have that time of life on earth and his earthly ministry and then to die on the cross for us. So Emmanuel, God with us. I want us to notice some thoughts about this name today. Of course, that reminds us of the Christmas story that Jesus, God, was with us. And so let's notice some thoughts today about this, right here from Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23. I want you to notice some thoughts about this name. Number one, I want us to see that this name is a name, number one, of fulfillment. This name is a name of fulfillment. Now in verse number 22 and verse number 23, it is very clearly told to us that this was done because it was fulfilled as was spoken by the prophet. We're going to take the time to look at what the prophet says. Would you take your Bible with me and go back to the prophet of Isaiah, the prophecy that Isaiah gives, and look with me, if you would, at Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7, and we're going to notice this title that was given to Jesus here in Isaiah chapter number 7 as a way of fulfillment. Fulfillment of a prophecy. So this was a title of fulfillment. Fulfillment of a prophecy that was given from Isaiah. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 14 in Isaiah chapter number 7. You'll notice it's similar words to what we saw there in Matthew chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. It says in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Now remember, there were some that started to mock the coming of the Messiah. Who is this Messiah that's going to come? This Messiah that we keep hearing about, that folks keep talking about. Well, God says through the prophet, God's going to give you a sign that this is the one that is the Messiah. This is the one that is the promised one. Look at what that sign is going to be. Verse number 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Again, a miraculous conception that the Holy Spirit would conceive inside the womb of Mary, this baby, Jesus, that was going to be born. And then notice the name that was given. It says, "And bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Remember the part that we read in Matthew chapter 1, which means God with us. Now, let's notice something about this fulfillment in this name, Emmanuel, that would be true of Jesus, that would be true of no one else. No one else could have met the qualifications of this name. Would you consider that with me this morning? No one else could meet the qualifications of this name. We could not be referred to today as Emmanuel because remember the meaning, God with us. Jesus is the only one that could meet the qualifications of this name. Not that someone cannot be named that today. It's not that we mean that. It's that no one could meet the qualifications of this. God with us. Jesus Christ was God's love come down to earth, wasn't he? Jesus Christ was God's grace come down in human form to earth. Jesus Christ was God's heart come down in human form to be with us here on earth. And can I say this? Jesus Christ was God's holiness. Not only God's love and his heart and his grace, but his holiness. He had to be without sin, didn't he? In order that we would give him the title of saying, God with us. Jesus was without sin. And so Jesus, as God's grace and God's love and God's heart and God's holiness in human flesh here walking upon the earth. It's as if we would say this, God was walking upon the earth, wasn't he? Jesus Christ, God in human flesh walking upon the earth. God was truly with us. No one else could fulfill the qualifications of that title. So it is a name of fulfillment. Would you take your Bible and look in the Gospel of John? Now we're going to come, we're going to be mindful of what we've read there in Matthew, but look at John chapter number 1 if you would. And let's notice a verse that describes the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he came down as God in human flesh. John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, "And the Word was made flesh." Now, who is the Word? The Word is Christ, right? The Word is Jesus. And the Word was made flesh. So Jesus was made flesh. And the Bible says he dwelt among us. Now, let's go back to that title for a moment. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus dwelling here on earth with us. And then notice what it says. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A verse that describes the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The fact that He left heaven to come in human flesh, again, as God's grace and love and holiness and heart, to walk on earth as God. So this name is a name of fulfillment. I heard somebody once say this about John chapter 1 and verse number 14. Again, let me read it for you. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Someone said this as a thought about John chapter 1 and verse number 14, and I think it speaks so well to the verse. They said the Son of God became the Son of Man so the sons of men could become the sons of God. Think about that this morning. The Son of God became the Son of Man. God left heaven and came here in human flesh so that the sons of men, you and I, could become the sons of God. So that we could know for sure we are on our way to heaven today. Now, there may be somebody here sitting in here today and you would say, I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life where I've come to trust Christ as Savior. Today could be the day of your salvation. Today should be the day of your salvation if God speaks to your heart that way and helps you to understand the fact that you're a sinner and there's a punishment for our sin. But God says, I love the sinner so much, again, that He was willing to leave heaven and to come down here to earth and then to die on a cross for us so that we, as the sons of men, could become the sons of God to those that believe on His name. The Bible says we're the sons of God as we believe on His name. The difference between belief and unbelief, the difference between heaven and hell, the difference between rejecting and receiving. Have you received Jesus today? Have you had a time in your life where you've believed on Him? For God so loved the world, and whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life. It's the difference between belief and unbelief. Have you believed in Him today? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Again, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man so that sons of men could become the sons of God. It is a title of fulfillment. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy and came down in human flesh. But then number two, I want you to notice this. This is a name, number two, of identification. Number one, it's a name of fulfillment. He fulfilled prophecy when He came. God with us, the only one that could fulfill or that meet those qualifications. But number two, it is a title of identification. Now, let's go back to the title again. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, how does that title become a title or a name or an identifier? How does it become a title of identification? Well, I want us to see it in two ways. Number one, let's look at God's part in all of this. Number one, because He is with us, the God-man, because He came in human flesh, we could say He identifies with us. Jesus identifies with us because He became human flesh. Do you know that today, because Jesus was on this earth and He walked on this earth as 100% God and 100% man, that when you go through trials and you go through temptations, you can be comforted in knowing that God in human flesh understands what you go through because He went through the very same thing. Now, isn't that comforting today that we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, or excuse me, He identifies with us because of the things that He has had gone through when He lived here on earth. Think of the trial, the times of trial and times of temptation, maybe perhaps that you'll go through from day to day, that we go through and we have to face, understanding that God understands what we go through. I want to read a couple verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18. Would you be mindful of this wonderful verse here? Hebrews 2 verse 18 says this, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." You say, well, what does that word mean? What is God able to do because He had been tempted? What is He able to understand in my time of need? He's able to come to your need and come to your aid in time of need because He understands what you go through. It's kind of like the parent, perhaps, or the grandparent, or maybe somebody who's already been down the path that someone is later in life facing, and they'll come to the child or the grandchild and they'll say, "I truly can say I understand." Have you ever been there? "I truly can say I understand. I've been through this spot before." Now, by the way, sometimes young people, I don't know that they really believe us when we say that, right? "You mean you really can understand what I'm going through?" Yes, I've been there before, right? You know, we've been through a time of childhood. We've been through a time of being a teenager. You know, we understand what it's like, right? And then as we get a little bit of age on us, we could say that. As we have age on us, we could say, "You know, I've been through those times. I understand what you're going through. And just let me come along beside you and try to help you in your time of need." But there's no one that'll be able to help us in a greater way than Jesus. Because he took on human flesh, he is able to identify with us. Wow, what an encouragement that we have a God who's been through those times of trial already. He went through the trial of the cross, right? A trial that you and I will never have to face. Never have to face the magnitude of the cross. And Jesus did it for us, as Miss Judy sang about. He's a God who can comfort us, as Miss Judy sang about. He can comfort us. He can give us that comfort and that care and that help when others around us may not be able to understand. God says, "I've been there before." And then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, he says these words. Verse number 15. He says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Let me pause for a moment and just say this. I'm thankful I have a high priest. I'm thankful that Jesus is my high priest. And he is the one that can help me in my time of need. And it says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." When you go through times of temptation and trial, Jesus says, "I've already been there." And by the way, he did it without sin. He never failed. He did it in a holiness and in a perfection and a sinlessness. And he says, "I've been there before. I can help you. I can comfort you." So because he is God with us, because he is the God-man, he understands the things that we go through. But then think about it the other way as well. Because he is with us, because he is the God-man, we should also strive to identify with him as well. Just like he identifies with us, we should strive and endeavor. It ought to be our goal as Christians to be able to identify with him as well. The Bible says this in the book of Philippians. It says that I may know him. Striving to know the Lord more and more every single moment of our lives so that we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, it says that we're crucified with Christ. He says, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He's saying there, Paul's saying there, I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. He died and he was crucified, and I want to be crucified with Christ. I want to live in such a way where I'm dying to myself and what I desire to do and living for Christ so that I can strive to identify with Jesus Christ and what he went through for me. You know, the Bible tells us that that's even one of the great blessings of following the Lord in the step of obedience of baptism, that we identify with Jesus Christ. You know, baptism is an identifier in a couple different ways. We identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a person that is being baptized is placed under that water, they're identifying with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ and coming up out of that water and identifying with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in the book of Romans, the Bible also talks about another identifier that takes place when we're baptized. It says we are letting folks know that I'm no longer in the darkness of my sin. Not that baptism is the saving grace. Obviously, that's when we trust Jesus as our Savior. But it's a way of identifying and letting folks know I'm no longer walking in the old man and the old way of sin, but instead I'm going down and burying that old life of sin, and I'm rising up out of that water, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life. There's an identifier with the Lord Jesus Christ, even at that step of obedience of baptism. Remember what John says there in the book of John. He says, "I die daily," again, to die daily for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God increases, that we are the ones who decrease, John says. that I identify with Jesus Christ. It's a word, it's a title, it's a name of identification. But then number three, I want to encourage you this morning. Number three, it not only is a title of fulfillment, it not only is a title of identification, but Emmanuel, God with us, is a title of encouragement. It's a title of encouragement. You say, well, what's so encouraging about that name? Well, because Jesus is God with us, again, in human flesh, coming down as 100% God and 100% man, we know that He is able to take care of all of our needs. He understands us, doesn't He? The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Aren't you glad you serve a God who cares for you? A God who knows all of your needs. Now, I want us to go through the Bible for a moment. Would you just for a few moments with me, take your Bible there that's on your lap and get your hands ready. We want to get our hands ready to turn to a few verses here. And here's what I want to show you today. This name being a name of encouragement. God is a God who cares. He knows our needs. And just for a few moments, I want you to look at a few verses with me. And I want you to notice that the evidence of God's care for His children is everywhere present. Goes back to the title, God with us. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is still with us today? He was with us on earth in human flesh for some time. But isn't it great to know that He is still with us today? This is a title of encouragement. And again, throughout the Word of God, I want you to see the evidence of the care for God's children that is everywhere present for us today. Would you look with me, if you would, at Psalm 18? Psalm 18, and look at verse number 6. I want you to notice the care of Christ for His children being everywhere present. Number one, I want you to notice that Jesus is before us. Number one, He is before us. We're going to notice that He is everywhere present. Number one, He is before us, which means He is leading and He is guiding. That's what you do when you go before someone, don't you? The leader is in the front of the line, right? You've played that game maybe before. Follow the leader, right? And you're following the leader as the leader is guiding, as the leader is directing. That's what Jesus does. He guides, He leads, He directs. He is before us. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 16 in verse number 8. I have set the Lord always before me, the psalmist says. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Jesus is before us, leading and guiding. But then number two, would you take your Bible and turn to Psalm 23? We're real close there. Psalm 23, and this is the very familiar psalm. Sometimes we'll call this the shepherd's psalm, a psalm of David here, as he talks about the Lord being his shepherd. I want you to notice number two, we said number one, the Lord is before us. But number two, He is behind us as well, protecting us and watching us when we have time of needing His security. Have you ever had times where, as a parent or maybe as a grandparent, you have led your children, and then there's other times where you've allowed them to go ahead of you just so that you could keep that extra special eye of protection on them? Isn't that wonderful that God is that way? He leads us and He guides us, but He also is behind us, protecting and watching us when we need His security. Notice the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Would you go down with me, if you would, to verse number 6. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you look at Isaiah chapter 30 for just a moment? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says this, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, a voice from behind you. Jesus is before us, but He also is behind us, protecting and watching us when we have times of needing security. But then I want us to notice that He is beside us as well. The Lord is beside us. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John. Again, we'll go through these verses. Look at John chapter number 14. John chapter 14 and look at verse number 16. John chapter 14 and verse number 16. So Jesus is before us. He is leading and guiding. He is behind us. He is protecting and He's watching. But He is beside us as well to comfort us and to encourage us. In John chapter 14 and verse number 16, it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Look down, if you would, at verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That word comforter there has the idea of one who comes along beside. The Holy Ghost, God, comes along beside. What a word of encouragement. God with us. That He is before us, leading and guiding. He is behind us, protecting and watching. He is beside us, encouraging and comforting. And then can I say this? He is also within us. He is before us. He is behind us. He is beside us. But He is within us as well. 1 John chapter number 3, would you look at that with me? 1 John chapter 3, and once you found that place, would you look down at verse number 24? 1 John chapter 3, and look at verse number 24 in 1 John chapter 3. "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him." He's saying this, a good sign of knowing that you're saved is that you're keeping God's commandments. And when you keep God's commandments, He dwells within you, and you are in Him as well. Man, what comfort in knowing that God is within us. We have the Holy Ghost living inside of us. Look, it says, "And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Once we trust Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Ghost, God, with us at all times. That is encouraging, isn't it? He is before us. He is behind us. He is beside us. He is within us. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I quoted it just a moment ago, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me," he says. Christ is living inside of me. Isn't it comforting to know that He is within us? But then, look at Psalm 99 in verse number 2. I want you to notice that He is above us as well. He is above us. I hope you're taking comfort in understanding that God cares for His children. And the evidence of it is that He is everywhere present in our lives. Look at Psalm 99 in verse number 2. Notice the Bible says that He is above us. It says in verse 2 of Psalm 99, "The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people." God is above us. He is high above all the people, watching over us. Again, understanding what lies ahead when we may not know. Aren't you glad that that is the God that we have, that's watching over us? You know, I was thinking this week, especially during the time of sickness that our family kind of battled this week, isn't it wonderful to know? And this thought came to my mind many, many times this week. And I know it's something you've heard before, but it's something that comforts us, that God never puts more on us than we're able to bear. He is above us. He's watching us. He understands what we are going through. Now, sometimes it may seem that way for us as humans. We don't understand it all. We don't have the knowledge of God, do we? We're not sovereign like Him. But He promises, "I won't put more on you than you are able to bear." And for the glory of God, we can bear whatever it is that He puts on us with His grace and with His strength. Why? He's above us. He's watching us. But then the Bible gives us one more word of comfort here. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and would you look at verse number 7? I told you we'd take the time to look at these verses. Psalm 34 and verse number 7, I want you to notice that He is around us. He is around us, the Bible says. He is caring and comforting His children, and there is evidence of it everywhere around us. God is before us. He is behind us. He's beside us. He's within us. He's above us. And the Bible says He's around us. Look at Psalm 34 and verse number 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Man, that's a verse of comfort, isn't it? The angel of the Lord is around us to protect us and to watch over us. Isn't it wonderful that we are surrounded by the Lord? We are surrounded by the Lord. There is nothing that can touch us without His permission. Why? Because God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. A word of encouragement. Aren't you thankful to know today, after we apply those truths from those verses that we just went through, that then it would help us just to stand back and get a little bit of a broader picture and say, Lord, if that is true, if you're before us and you're behind us and you're beside us at all times and you're watching us above and around us and you live within us, isn't it wonderful to know that He's with us in the times of sorrow that we go through? He's with us in the times of suffering that we have to face. And He is with us as we serve Him, as we serve the Lord. By the way, He gives us the privilege of serving Him. We get to serve Jesus, and He's with us the whole time we're doing it. There's comfort in that, isn't there? There is encouragement because God is with us. And by the way, we could go back to the very start of our Christian walk when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, and we would say God is with us in salvation the very moment we trusted Him as our Savior. It is a word or a title of encouragement. But then can I mention this morning? Emmanuel, God with us. A title of fulfillment, identification, encouragement. Then think about this morning. It's also a title of fellowship. It's a title of fellowship. Because He came to be with us, because He dwelled on earth, God with us, and because of what He did for us, the Bible says we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'd say for many of us this week, we perhaps had fellowship together in the same house, maybe the same room, together with family members that maybe perhaps is not a daily occurrence. Maybe people outside of our homes, we'd say, hey, we had them into our house, or maybe we went to their house and we gathered for Thanksgiving. There's something special about being together, right? There's something special about being together with one another and having fellowship with one another. By the way, that applies to our families. There's something special about times we get together. We might not see each other on a daily basis, but we could say, hey, there's times like Thanksgiving where we can get together and just rejoice in being together with one another. But by the way, there's also something special about having fellowship one with another as Christians too, isn't there? To say, hey, we can get together. By the way, that's what we do at God's house, right? We get together and we have fellowship around the Word of God and comfort and encouragement with one another as we fellowship with one another. But there's something that far outweighs all of that. And it's the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, God's Son. And because we have fellowship with Him, because He is with us, we have the wonderful privilege of having fellowship with Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3. I want to take the time to read that verse this morning. 1 John chapter 1. And verse number 3, if you want to take the time to look at it with me there. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you found 1 John chapter 1, stay there for a moment because I have another verse I'm going to read. But what is he saying here? He's saying that because of what Jesus has done, because of what Christ has done for us, we can have fellowship with the Lord. But then in the chapter, it goes a little further. It helps us to understand something that we have one with another as Christians as well. Because of what Jesus has done, Christ then is the basis of the fellowship we have with one another as well, isn't it? Man, this is special. God with us. We have fellowship with God because of that, but then because of what He did, we can now have wonderful, sweet fellowship with one another. Look at verse 7 if you would. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, how was that made possible? Look at the end of the verse. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And what an encouragement there in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. We have fellowship with God, and the reason why we're able to have fellowship with one another is because of the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you and for me. It is a title of fellowship. Last one today, I want you to notice, it's a title of joy. It's a title of joy. Jesus came, and because Jesus came, there is joy. You say, well, how can we prove that? Look at Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2, and we'll close with this verse this morning. Luke chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. Here's the angel delivering a message to shepherds. This is another part of the Christmas story. We see that story in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2. This is another part of the Christmas story. And we see now Jesus has been born. He's been placed into that manger. And the Bible says this in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, here's these shepherds. Man, the shepherds want to hear the good. They're excited about hearing the good news. They're going to get to go worship the Savior, right? Look at what it says in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy has come to earth because Jesus Christ has been born. The angel delivers the message to the shepherds. Now, I know we sing the hymn, and I know that's not Bible. I know it's not written as God's word, but that the words of that hymn that we sing at Christmas time is so true. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. There is joy because of the fact that the Lord has come. Joy because He came. Can I go a step further? Joy because you know Christ. Not just joy because He came. Now listen, we think about the joy that comes from just Jesus Christ coming, but there's some folks that haven't experienced that joy yet, though, because they don't know Christ. So there's that next level of joy. There's that joy of knowing Jesus Christ. You say it's possible to have joy when we know Christ? Of course we understand that, right? There's joy in our hearts because we know Him. You know, the Bible says the psalmist, remember the psalmist, David, when he had sinned, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There was joy that was there, but something stood in the way. I've got to get that joy back. There's joy in salvation, isn't there? The Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's strength that's found in the joy of knowing Jesus. The book of Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18 says this, it said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because God came, there is joy. There's joy in knowing Jesus. Can I say this? There's joy in the presence of Jesus as well. The Bible says there's joy in His presence. The Bible says there is fullness of joy. In Thy presence, there is fullness of joy. There's joy in the presence of Jesus, isn't there? You know, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. His presence is here with us today, isn't it? And as a result of His presence being here, there ought to be joy in the house of God. When you spend time in the presence of the Lord in His Word and you're praying, there ought to be joy in the presence of God. It's a title of joy. God with us. God, Jesus, God in human flesh, brought joy to this world. So let me wrap up the message this morning. Remember we said it was a name of fulfillment. It's a name of identification. It's a name of encouragement. It's a name of fellowship. It's a name of joy. So then to ask ourselves some questions this morning. That name, Emmanuel, God with us. Ask yourself this question today. How would you answer it today? Not out loud now, but in your heart. Do you know Emmanuel? Do you know God with us? Do you know Emmanuel? Do you know Jesus? Has there been a time where you put your faith and trust in the Lord? And then would you be challenged by some of the other thoughts in the message today? Do you rejoice in knowing that Jesus identifies with you today? There is comfort in what Jesus can give to us, because he's already been through it, hasn't he? He identifies with us. Are you encouraged by that today? Do you rejoice in that today? Do you rejoice in the fact that he is with us to guide us and to lead us and to have his presence everywhere around us, as we talked about this morning? But then, as we talked about Jesus identifying with us, do you identify with him? Do you seek to know him in a greater way every day? Are you fellowshipping with him as you should? Is your fellowship with Jesus the way that it should be? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart today? Or maybe today that could be that there's something that stands in the way between you and the joy that you should have with the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There's joy in his presence. Would you say that's true of your life today? Now, Miss Judy did such a good job singing this morning. It reminded us of the fact that Christ, without Christ, we don't have that care and comfort that we have when we know him, right? Without him dying on the cross, we have no hope of eternity, right? But because Jesus came to this earth, God with us, we have that title he's given us, and it encourages us, it comforts us today. Father, I thank you for the passage of Scripture that we dealt with this morning. Lord, maybe perhaps there'd be someone today, most importantly, that does not